Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues, that's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. I am Tim Wildman, and I'm here most days to host the show. And co-hosting with me today is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. And Ray does the show Tuesdays and Thursdays with me. And Ray, what'd you think about the... What do you think that Donald Trump would do on Secretary of State?
The thing that I wonder about is I can only think of two explanations on the Mitt Romney stuff, right? Because that's the part that's everybody wonders about. Was he not really serious? And was this just sort of an exercise? Maybe to sort of make Romney eat crow? It's hard for me to believe he would go to the second interview to do that. The other explanation in my mind is that he has proven to be unpredictable. And
who, Trump?
Yes, Trump. Yeah. Trump has proven to be unpredictable, even to us conservatives, right?
Right.
So maybe he is serious about Mitt Romney, even though there would be a firestorm of criticism. I really think, I'm just guessing, I'm thinking it's down to John Bolton or Mitt Romney. I think it's going to be one of those two guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's two. Those guys are two different characters, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Completely. Walker Wildman with us. Walker, what's the latest things you put on our Facebook page? By the way, we're out of those wristbands, aren't we?
Yeah, I just checked. We're completely out of our Christmas wristbands. Which
Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands.
It's bad if you want to buy more, but it's good that we've sold out. That means they were on demand.
Right, man. Amazing. Keep Christ in Christmas. Well, we'll have them back out next year.
But we do have our Naughty or Nice list, okay, which is on our Facebook page and on our main website.
What is that exactly?
Our Naughty or Nice list will tell you which stores are friendly to Christmas.
Okay, and which ones stores, just want your money for holiday shopping?
Right, and which stores do not use the word Christmas in their Christmas advertising.
Right, okay, so we got that.
Yeah, you visit AFA.
Naughty or Nice list, so you can decide who you want to shop with or not, right?
Exactly.
For this holiday shopping.
We've graded nearly 100 companies.
Who holiday shops? Nobody holiday shops.
Yeah.
Did you shop for Thanksgiving?
No, well, not really.
Do you exchange gifts at New Year's?
No.
No.
So you don't holiday shop?
No.
Christmas shop?
Yeah, Christmas shop. You don't Easter shop, you Christmas shop.
Ray, you holiday shopper?
Never have in my life. Don't intend to start now. It's Christmas shopping or nothing, right?
Yeah, it's got calling it a holiday tree, you know. It's Christmas tree. We all know it is, as much as you try to change the name of it. Nothing wrong with the word holiday. In fact, the word holiday means holy day. So nothing wrong with using the word holiday. It's just when these PC people, intentionally try to change what we've always known as Christmas to make it a generic celebration, and because they want to get Christ out of it. That's their goal, get Christ out of it, because it reminds people about our Savior. Steve Jordahl from the American Family Radio News Team and OneNewsNow.com is in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim, Ray, Walker.
Morning. Steve, what you got, my friend?
Well, if you go to OneNewsNow.com right now, you can, top of the page, you can read about the recovery from the Tennessee wildfires. We've got that up there, and we encourage you to go do that. I wanted to talk today to you guys about the state of some of our pastors. The pollster George Barna has come out. Every week he does kind of a look at the trends of the people that he's recording, which are conservative evangelicals, and in this case, he's looking at conservative pastors. So this is what he's found. He's found that 99% of our theologically conservative pastors say that they are willing to take an unpopular stand. If you've ever met an evangelical pastor, that's probably not a surprise. And 97% of them are conservative on social issues, on conservative social issues. They're also largely conservative fiscally and with regard to other matters of government like defense and all that kind of stuff. They are not, however, happy for the most part with the way the election went. George Barna has been talking about what he termed politically active conservatives. These are not them. These are just theologically conservative. And 57 of them feel angry about the current state of the
57%?
Country. 57% of them. And that's after the election.
So feel what now?
They are angry about the current state of our country.
Okay.
George says that he says one of the chief tasks of our national leaders, starting with Mr. Trump, but certainly including our nation's pastors, is to bring healing and unity to the forefront of our agenda. So my question to y'all this morning and those of you listening, what does that look like? Do we need to heal as a nation, and how are pastors and the Christian community in general, what is our role in bringing this disparate
country back together? Well, to me, I would ask, what are you healing from?
That's a good question.
I don't know, Ray, you know what they're talking about here?
Oh, I think we all understand there was a lot of...
Well, that's true. Yeah, you mean the division and angst over the election? Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes, I think that's what he's talking
about.
Well,
actually, he's talking not necessarily about just the political divide, because we are as torn morally and socially between left, like the left coast and the heartland on issues. These pastors believe the top three issues are abortion, Supreme Court nomination, and Americans' moral decline.
You don't heal over that. That's an unrealistic kumbaya moment that'll never happen. If somebody believes abortion is morally wrong, that it's the taking of innocent human life in the womb, they're not going to be able to build a bridge with somebody who believes that it's okay to dismember babies in the womb. I mean, it's just there's nothing there to reconcile. So you can forget that. Now, can you be civil with people who you disagree with on that issue? Sure, you can. But you're not going to find some common ground there. What else?
Well, the marriage and family, and that's another thing that I agree with you on the abortion. I agree with you that where God's word, and these pastors are very strong on saying if God's word says something is morally wrong, it is morally wrong, and they're not going to compromise on that. And Barna's not suggesting they do. I think, and I talked to George yesterday about this, I think... he is taking a look at the commandment that we are to be salt and light to a world and take Christ's example that we don't have to be hostile to these people as people, that they are created, our opponents ideologically, morally, and socially are created in the image of God.
Who is being hostile to them?
Well, the perception is... that we are haters.
The perception which they've placed on us.
They have.
Right. Yes.
Right. They have.
Right. This is where we get into this stuff here again. This is why a lot of Christians head for the tall grass when you talk about these moral issues, because they get all weak-kneed because they don't have it, because they think they're going to be criticized by the world for their position. And I'm just saying... We buy into their false narrative that we're hostile. I've known a lot of I've known several LGBT over my life outside of the ministry during my 53 years, and I've never treated them, mistreated them.
No.
And I've never seen them mistreated.
Frankly.
In any way. Yeah. I wouldn't agree with it if they were. So, but what they want to do is they want to say you are, unless you are hostile to us, unless you prove that you're not. And the way you can prove you're not hostile to us is to renounce your belief in the Bible.
So this is, I think, the game that they play.
Go ahead.
This is, I think, the game that they play. They start a battle. They start a war. And then they want us... They accuse us of being the ones that are fighting. Mm-hmm. It's not fair in the least.
Right. We're defending.
Oh, the other day I was at a restaurant and in the area I live in, Tupelo, Mississippi, and I walked in the restaurant and there's a little sticker on the door, and it says, "We serve everyone," and it had the rainbow colors on there.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff's all over the country, but I wanted to go in and I didn't, but I wanted to say. Why the need for this sticker? We serve everyone. Did you used to have servers who would walk up and hand a menu to somebody and say, "Are you homosexual?" Well, yeah. Then you need to get out of this restaurant because we don't serve people like you.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. So I'm just saying these kind of things are boogeymen. I'm telling you.
Let me ask you then about, and Tim and Ray and Walker, let me ask you about this statement. Just tell me if you agree with Mr. Barna. He says, one of the chief tasks of our national leaders, starting with Mr. Trump, but certainly including our nation pastors, is to bring healing and unity to the forefront of our agenda. Do we need to do that?
Ray,
is there a need for that?
Ray, how do you do that?
Preach the Bible. Preach the truth.
That separates, though. That divides.
Well, okay, look. We were talking in the last segment about Chip and Joanna Gaines, right?
Yeah.
And the whole deal down here in Waco and what's going on with Fixer Upper. So in the break, I was on Twitter, and I found this. Chip and Joanna hadn't said anything at all, and Joanna still hasn't. But this is on Chip Gaines put this on his Twitter feed just in the last few hours. Let me just read just a couple of these. Talking about the controversy, he said, quote, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love." And he capitalized that last sentence. And then he said, "You know, even as all hell appears to be breaking loose, all I have to do is look at my four precious babies sleeping or kiss Joe good morning. And at least at that moment at my house, all is right with the world." That seems to me, and he doesn't at all directly address the controversy, the article, but that's what he's talking about. And I think this is a model. Yeah. What he's doing here, this is how we ought to respond when the pressure is on, by being positive and uplifting and not backing down from what we believe.
Amen.
There's a tension in my mind and my heart, and I was talking with Fred Jackson this morning about that too. On the one hand, we do want to be winsome as a witness for Christ, and we want to attract people to the gospel because of our kindness, our gentleness, the love that God gives us. So in that direction, in that way, we want to reach out to the world and say, come examine what I believe.
Right. That's been true for 2,000 years.
It right. has been. But the other tension is that the Bible tells us that it's going to get worse until Christ returns and establishes his kingdom and morality. So if the track we're on right now is the beginning steps of what we call the end times, where it's only going to get worse by God's design, actually, and he's going to weed the...
So are you still a reporter now, or are you a Bible teacher?
No, I'm... Well, I
both. A little of both, and it's okay. You're doing good, Steve.
I am willing to be corrected on all of this, by the way, but my feeling is if we are headed toward those end time days and the tribulation as is taught by many, this is a time for me to start digging an entrenchment and to fortify my position, to preach, to be a Jeremiah, to preach the true gospel without apology, and to say, bring it on. Mm-hmm. If this is a momentary kind of, the devil is pulling us, trying to weed us away, but there's healing available, then I don't want to be so much entrenched and defensive as I want to be more proactive.
I think the approach, Ray, you can comment on this, you know, I try to teach our children growing up, you know, you don't go looking for a fight.
Right.
That's not the Christian approach to life. You don't go looking for a fight. You look to be peacemakers. But you don't back down from an injustice either. You know what I mean? And by injustice, I mean you don't back down for your beliefs, I should say. Maybe that's the proper way to say it. So in the culture war that we see existing in America, for example, Christians aren't out looking. Chip and Joanna Gaines didn't go looking for this fight.
Right.
But the fight came to them.
Right.
And now is the time, as you just referenced a tweet by Chip Gaines, he's not backing down. So you don't back down.
That's right.
But you don't go looking for fights with people over issues. Go ahead. You want to comment
well,
on that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about what you said and what Steve said. And my mind was running through those verses. You know, you have in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, you have back-to-back verses that say, answer a fool according to his folly. And the next verse says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, which means there are times when you must speak out.
Right.
And there are times when you shouldn't. And we need the wisdom of God to know, okay, do I need to speak out here? Is this a moment? Well, then don't be afraid and speak out. Mm-hmm. Or is this just some fool up in the stands who's going to get me? You know, the old thing, don't wrestle with the pig. You'll only get dirty and the pig loves it. So we need the wisdom of God to know when to speak out and when to walk away from a fight. There's times we have There are times we have to be bold and times we just need to go, that's a dumb thing. I'm not getting involved.
I'm not
in
even going to respond to it.
That's right.
No, but the natural inclination for we as humans is to, when somebody makes a false accusation against us, we feel the need to prove to them why we're not what they say we are.
Right.
And we shouldn't feel that need to. You know, it's like, so some group says you're a hater.
Right.
Then you feel the need to go, no, I'm not. I'm not a hater. I don't want people to think I'm a hater.
And you'll never prove it to their satisfaction anyway, right?
Right. Not unless you renounce your faith.
That's right.
You're answering to a caricature that they have made of you, and it validates
exactly.
That caricature.
Ray says you got to be wise on this, as the Bible says wise.
I have a question for you, Ray. Do you believe that the current divide in our country is something, and I'm talking the moral divide, where we see what pure evil in the abortion culture, the degradation and the real opposition, open opposition to godly biblical morality when it regards sexuality and all that kind of stuff. Do you see this as the beginning of the end, and God is going to come back and redeem us through his supernatural will? Or do you think that this is kind of one of those ebbs and flows where a good revival and a good witnessing church can bring this country back to morality?
Well, as you say that, Steve, I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 3:1, which says, in the last days, terrible times will come. Perilous times, the King James says. The Greek word there actually means savage. Savage times will come. Times in which, as we hurtle toward the second coming of Christ, we're going to see the unmooring of all the social foundations that we thought we could depend upon. So in answer to your question, do I think we're at the beginning of the end? No, I think we're more like the middle of the end. I think we're closer than anyone can imagine to the return of the Lord. And let me throw in something here to think biblically. Parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13, about the enemy came in and sowed the tares, the weeds among the wheat, and should we pull them up? No, just leave it until the time of the harvest. I think what we will see in the final last days before the coming of Christ, we're going to see two climactic harvests coming in at the same time. We're going to see the worst evil unleashed on the world, and we're going to see a harvest of righteousness. So while the world is heading off the cliff, I think we can pray and should expect and ask for a revival and a spiritual awakening and people coming to Christ as never before. Because as we all know, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines.
Amen. Yeah. Have you written on what you just talked about on your...
Yeah, I have.
Well, where can people read this?
It's on our website, keepbelieving.com. In fact, I'll pull it up and put it on the front page. It's an article I wrote called Why I Believe in a Last Days Spiritual Awakening.
Keepbelieving.com.
Yes.
And does Walker have permission to put it?
That's absolutely ironic he just said that, because I just posted Pastor Ray's website on our Facebook page for people to find out more information. So.
Okay.
It's already up.
Either way you want to do it.
I guess I was reading Ray's mind.
You know, gentlemen, also, we're seeing this played out on an international stage, and as bad as the attacks are on Christians here, they almost pale in comparison to what believers in Saudi Arabia and in Iraq and Afghanistan and China and some of these countries where people are literally losing their lives. And, Ray, that, I think, speaks to what you're saying about the barrage of evil that's coming against us.
Hey, the
well, we hear people say that the fastest growing church around the world is the church in Iran. It would be hard to find a place where it'd be more difficult to be a Christian than in the country of Iran, given the leadership that they have over there. And yet I've heard from numerous people that the church is exploding under immense pressure. The same thing happened in China in the last 50 or 60 or 70 years, that as persecution increases, somehow the Lord seems to bless his church, and the church seems to do well when, well, frankly, when the hangers-on are stripped away and the people who really want to be on the team, you know, everybody gets to decide which jersey they're going to wear. So I think maybe if we are in the last days, as I think we are, Steve, we're going to see a winnowing out. But in the end, that's going to be good for the cause of Christ.
And I don't think, Ray and Tim, I don't, I believe that God put DNA of into his body, his church, that thrive under these kind of conditions. There's no other religion, there's no other worldview that really provides any kind of hope or comfort in a situation of intense persecution.
It was the early church father Tertullian who famously said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And that was true 1,800 years ago. It is still true in the 21st century.
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ray Pritchard. Ray's on with us from Dallas, and he co-hosts with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker Wildman. Walker, so you're about through posting stuff on our Facebook page for the day?
Almost.
Okay. Our Today's Issues Facebook page, go there, check it out. Now, are they supposed to, I know people are going to laugh when I say this, but there's only so much technology a man can engage in. I've already mentioned about channel flipping on HGTV and other channels. Now, would they friend us? And how would they promote our show on Facebook?
Well, on Facebook, you
share,
like.
Share?
You like,
you like?
You like the page, and then you can share or comment on any of our posts.
Okay, what if they dislike our program?
Well, then that's their problem.
Tune into HGTV.
Well, we don't want them to.
No,
we don't want them to click dislike.
No,
there is no dislike button, so that's good.
Right, they can just unlike or like.
Well,
our
either
page.
Like or you be quiet.
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay,
but it's almost like a federal regulation. Once you like it or you pass it, it almost never gets retracted. So go ahead and like our page, and then you'll forget you even liked it.
I love the commercial with those three older women, and they're sitting around talking. I forgot who the company is. They're sitting around talking, and they've got the wall, and it's a literal wall, and they got pictures up there of people with thumbnails in it, and then one lady gets mad at the other lady who's sitting on the couch. She says, "I'm going to defriend you." Or something like that. It was something analogous to
right.
Facebook, except it was literal. And she was taking her picture off her wall, and the lady says, "That's not how I do. You do this."
That's right.
It's just so funny. But anyway, Ray, are you going to be doing something for us here as far as Christmas goes at American Family Radio?
We are taping it early next week, and it'll be running a Christmas special. Be running the week of Christmas across the network.
Okay. The next time you're on, let's talk about that, okay?
Let's do it.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, you can visit our website, AFR.net, American Family Radio, AFR.net. Today's Issues Facebook page, my thanks to Steve Jordahl.
Thank you, Tim.
And our board operator, Brent Creeley, Walker Wildman, and you for listening to our program today. You can also check us out, get our app, and listen to us anywhere in the world on your cell phone. As long as it's a smartphone. You got a dumb phone, you need to get rid of it and get yourself a smartphone. We'll see you next time, folks. Have a great day.